Hey, I don't want to delay. I want to get into our lesson this morning. I've been waiting for the opportunity to preach this lesson here. So I certainly hope that the things I say will definitely be encouraging to the Northwest family. The title of my lesson is, If It Were Not for the Destination, I Wouldn't Go Through This. I wouldn't go through it. Let me explain. This thought came to me while Deja and I were traveling. Reaching your destination, finding joy after the journey is simply gratifying. Because the journey can be extremely challenging at times. Allow me to tell my story. We left Huntsville on February the 22nd going on a vacation. It started at the airport where the journey began. It was Deja's first time flying, and we were ecstatic at the opportunity to take some time away from everything. You know how you need that time sometimes just to get away by yourself, to meditate, to re-energize, to get back in the fight. I had had a grueling month that particular month. And it seems like nothing was actually going well. I had to deal with all kind of sadness in people's families and death of loved ones. But it appeared to me that the vacation was right on time. Preparation for the journey started some months ago, about 8 months ago. And I was ready for it. Arriving in Florida, that's where our difficulties began. It was extremely congested at the airport where there were hundreds of people flying in at the same time trying to go on a vacation with us. As the journey continued, we discovered when we got ready to get our luggage that a piece of the luggage was not there. And it was an important piece because it had medication and cosmetics in it. Boy, and you know, you in the Florida heat, you don't want to smell. After we had went to the luggage carriers, and they told us whether to come in on another flight that night, and we'll get it right over there to the hotel. Deja and I stood outside waiting on the hotel's passenger. Shuttle to come and pick us up. And we had to stand out there several hours. Even after calling the man several times to come pick us up, we stood, us and other guests that flew in that particular day. And we just kept seeing all these other shuttles come by and pick all these people up and our shuttle. So you can imagine how we felt finally after the shuttle arrived and took us to the hotel. Believe me, he didn't get a tip. We were several hours late, and we had planned on going to a 5-star restaurant in the area and sitting down and eating and enjoying our meal together when we had to settle for McDonald's. Yeah, settle for McDonald's. And we're talking about a 5-star hotel, and we thought we were going to have plenty enough time to make some arrangement for transport to church. But we called and called, and I really wanted to hear Billy Washington again. It's been a long time, and I was encouraged, and we could never get anybody to call us back. But that didn't stop us from worshiping. In Matthew 18:18 through 20, and I'm particular, for the Bible teaches us where two or three are gathered in his name. Well, let's look at it. I forgot. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Next verse. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. Next verse. In heaven. Next verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Brothers and sisters, at that point in time, and we had a schedule to be at the cruise ship at a particular time, we had worship. We sung a song, or several songs. We prayed, I preached, and we offered the Lord's Supper. I mean, you don't have to stop worship when the journey is challenging. I want you to understand that. You need to be prepared to worship God whatever may come your way. You know, God gathers us together collectively on Sunday morning. But yet, I'm here to tell you we should be worshiping God at every opportunity. We should give him praise and honor. God has put songs in our hearts to sing in honor of him. God has given us his word that we can recall and reflect on when we find ourselves in challenging situations. There is no reason why a person should not worship God every day in his life. That was the beginning of our journey. On our way back, it truly became even more challenging because of the fact that we got off the ship early enough that Saturday, and we had to carry our luggage and hold on to our luggage for 6 hours because the airlines wouldn't accept it. Except 2 hours before our plane took off. And that's when I came up with this thought. If it were not for the destination, I wouldn't go through this. But it was, and I've not seen an airport, and I've been to many, that did not have a decent launch area. This one had one, and it was full of people. So Deja and I went hungry. It was a grueling trip. But when we finally got back to Huntsville, and we saw Brother Walker and Sister Walker out there, when we finally got back to where we started from, oh, what joy, how ecstatic we were over the journey. And when they drove us home and we got to that little small house, we were dreaming of lying in our beds and resting after this toiling event. If it were not for the destination, I wouldn't go through this. brothers and sisters, I'm talking about getting to where we want to go. See, with all the problems that exist in this world, we can expect to run into many challenges. How many of you have taken off and hit the freeways looking forward to reaching your destination, but you find all kinds of problems? Motor vehicle failure. Or you're traveling at such a good speed and then all of a sudden you run into some sort of bottleneck or something happened ahead of you. Or what about those flat tires that seem to drive all of us sometimes insane? Every time you set out on a long journey, you can look out for some delays while you're trying to reach your destination. How many of you have gone through things in traveling? I was stuck in Munich, Germany, 1 year for 17 hours. I had to sleep, or try to sleep, in an airport. Oh, what a terrible journey. But I'm not here to talk about the physical journeys that we are traveling. I'm here to talk about those spiritual journeys where we are challenged at every venue, where the scriptures teach us that Satan is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's the reason why Peter encourages us to be sober and to be vigilant. Be alert to the difficulties, to the challenges, to the things that will come into your life. You know, on every graveyard I've ever visited, and all the tombstones that I have looked at, it always has that dash, the date of birth and the date of death. And how you live that dash is totally up to you as an individual, because that dash represents your journey. It represents your journey. And I know, as I have experienced many things in this life, I will experience many more as I live. If it were not for the destination, I wouldn't go through this. I want to give you several points here, and then the lesson will be yours. The first point about carrying out your journey and reaching your destination is that we need faith. We need faith in this journey. The second point I want to make here and assure you of is that you need to be prepared while getting ready for your journey. And the third point, the journey can be treacherous. The fourth point is that you must be willing to make sacrifices on this journey. Let's look at the need for faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, we want to point out something here that we absolutely need when we take on this journey of life. And the Hebrew writer says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when you go on your journey, you need to believe that you're going to reach your destination. See, without faith, it is impossible for you to get to where you want to go. See, the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Unbelief. You have to believe that you can get to where you want to go. And let me assure you, if you don't have a destination, a place where you want to reach, then let me assure you, you will not go anywhere. See, confusion can cause you not to reach your destination. And the lack of knowledge of where you should go will cause you to not to go. I'm trying to say that unbelief will cripple a person's plan in reaching their destination. The Bible goes on to state that in departing from the living God. See, it's already impossible for you to reach to where you want to go. And I am absolutely positive that everyone here wants to go to heaven this morning. Or you would not be here. But if you don't know the way, how will you get there? See, a lot of people, let me assure you of this, believe that they are worshiping God, but not according to his will. Oh, yes, there are a lot of people that say they know where they want to go, but it's not according to the will of God. But the Hebrew writer encourages us. He says, "But exalt one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin." Oh, boy, that devil is always getting in our way. He's always. But we have God if we diligently seek him. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse 105. This is from the King James. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Oh, we need light to be able to see where we're going. The messenger says this. He says, "By your words, I can see where I'm going." And see, it is by the word of God that we place our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, God's word is our light unto salvation. It is the lamp that leads us down this path. You know, as David said in the Psalms, he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he knows who he's trusting in." Brothers and sisters, it's imperative that we know who we trust in guiding our lives through this dark world in which we live. It's imperative that we know who is providing the way and the light for us to see. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do dwell, that ye take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star rise in your heart." Oh, we need light. We need light. the Revelator recalls in Revelations 2 and 10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thy faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be thy faithful. For look at what the devil will try to do. If some of you realize and understood all the things that happened to Deja in her journey, if you knew what this child had gone through, you would love her even more, because she's been through something. A journey that some of us couldn't have gone through. For 2 years, she was without contact of anyone within the state of Alabama and the church family that cared for us. Oh, I remember the journey. I remember the journey of Sister Edna Crutcher and the Crutcher family and the Branch family. I remember the journey. Oh, yes. I remember the journey of Sister Barefoot and her granddaughters, the journey that they were set on. I remember the journey of Brother Eric Moulton and his family that are here to eyewitness what I'm saying to you today, that we don't know what will happen while we're traveling on this journey. It comes up from nowhere, and there we are faced with a challenge that sometimes we think we cannot move. Well, I am not dependent on me to move the obstacle that's in the way. I am dependent on the faith I have in my Lord to help me bear the burden that I have to go through in this life. Oh, there have been marriages that have been disrupted by Satan. Lives that have been torn and ripped apart by Satan. I'm here to tell you, we're on this spiritual journey and we don't know what will happen next. But believe me, we all have to travel down that road. We all have to travel that particular way. And it doesn't appear that life gets better. It appears that we have to stay with God. For remember what the Hebrew writer said in verse number 6. For he that cometh to God. I believe we are on a destination. We are on a journey. We're looking forward to that day that we can see our God. He says, must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, that work at it, that continue to press on even though the pressure of life is bearing down on him. For he seek God. He's seeking God. Let us talk a little bit about the preparation. My second point. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. Watch what the scripture says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen, as yet moved with fear, preparing an ark. I want to pause right there. Because in this life, you have to prepare for your destination. You have to get ready, brothers and sisters, simply because we don't know what will happen down the road. You may think right now you are in good health, and this evening be lying in a sick bed. You may think that you're going to wake up tomorrow, but by tonight, you will be dead. We need to understand that we have to prepare for our journey. You know, the story of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. How the five wise prepared for the bridegroom's coming. They didn't know when he was going to show up. All they knew was that he was coming back with his bride. And the five foolish, they thought they had enough. Oh, well, we'll make it through the night. And so all of them had prepared, they thought, for the bridegroom's return. Well, around in verse number 8, they heard the sound of the bridegroom coming. And they looked at their lamps and they said, "Can you give me some of yours?" Let me make this point right here and now. Nobody else can prepare for you or give you when the bridegroom is on his way. If you are not ready to go to that next phase in your life because you don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what obstacles are going to be in your way. And if you're not prepared by having faith in Almighty God, let me assure you, you'll be like the five foolish because the wise told them, "Go buy some." Oh, they went running off trying to get there a little extra. By the time they got back, the door was shut. The door was shut. And let me assure you, I don't want the door shut on me. I know what the results are when Jesus closed the door and I come a knocking and he peeps outside and he says, "I don't know you." Whoa. You have been waiting and toiling all this time thinking you had enough. You thought, "Hey, I don't need to do any more good works because of the fact that I've done enough." You know, you're saying that I don't need to pray anymore as much as I prayed when I was younger because I got enough. I'm telling you, you will never have enough. You will never have enough. We need to keep going and preparing while the blood is still running warm in our veins. We need to keep going. We can't stop. Peter says this in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 6 and 7. He says, "Whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, and by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against that day of judgment." Hey, the Bible says when Noah was warned and he started preparing for 120 some years, the man preached the gospel to those who were lost, and yet they ignored him. They refused to get on board. And when the door of the ark was closed and they came a running wanting to get in, Noah kindly said, "The door is closed and God has the key." But this time, brothers and sisters, the world will not be destroyed by water. It will be destroyed by fire. And no one in this world will escape unless they are prepared to meet their God. I'm talking about preparation is more than just coming to church, folks. Preparation is just more than just saying a few prayers over your meal each and every day. Preparation is a lifestyle. It's the way you walk and the way you talk that will get you to glory. Jesus made this statement, if you love me, keep my commandments. How much do you really love Jesus? Is the question I need to raise this morning. How much do you really love him? Let's continue to prepare for what we know is coming. You know, I have not known but one man that lived 990 some years and he died. You don't know anybody that has lived that long. So let me assure you, it is all about your preparation. I have shared with some that the only thing that you can take to your grave with you, the only thing that will take you on to glory, is your faith, your honor, and your integrity. See, once you build that kind of reputation, a man of faith, faith in who? In God. What do you get your from God? Where is your integrity? It comes from the Word of God. I'm here to tell you that we need to stay in the Word of God, that God can continue to make us who he wants us to be. Because I don't know what's going to happen in this life. All I know is that I need God. Let's move on quickly. The journey. Hebrews chapter 11, verses number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. In other words, Abraham had no clue. I've looked at what historians have said about the city of Ur and how it was a modern city. But by this faith, Abraham packed up his family and he went. He was on the move. As the Bible said, not knowing where he was going. Let me make this point. You don't know unless you're following God and what God has revealed to you through his word. You don't know what's going to come into this life. You don't know what's going to happen next. All you know is that you're trusting in God. And God has promised us salvation. He promised it to those who obey him. And even though I don't know what will be on tomorrow, I know who God is. I understand what his will is for my life. Do you understand what his will is for your life? Even with all the drama and all the obstacles, all the pain and suffering that will come to my life, I don't know when, where, or how. I just know who I'm trusting in. That's what I need you all to understand. That we don't know what will happen. Let me move on quickly. Just gonna shut this down and come down and talk to you for just a second. See, I realize and understood what happened to Abraham. He left a modern city during his time, and he started on this journey. He was promised that his wife, who was in her 90s, would have a child. Man, now, what kind of faith does it take to believe that? Huh? You know, and Sarah, his wife, she laughed at one point. She said, whoa, man, you crazy in the head. She even tried to get a handmaid, a goddamn handmaid, to go sleep with her husband that he could have an heir for all that he had. But that wasn't God's promise. That was not God's will. But somewhere she must have repented. Because the Hebrew writer stated that God gave her strength in her old age to conceive a child. Now, I've seen some ladies that were about to conceive, and let me tell you, it takes a lot of strength. Hollering and screaming. But here's a woman beyond the age of conception. Her womb had been barren for so many years, but through her faith and on her journey, she conceived a son to Abraham. For Abraham. Wow, what a beautiful thing. And then in this journey with Abraham, he loved his son. He loved him. And yet, God puts another test, another obstacle in his way. And he says, sacrifice your only son. Wow. Think about that for a minute. You who have children, your only son, your only daughter, give him up or her up? No, not on your life. But Abraham believed. It always goes back to that faith, man. Abraham believed if God gave it to me, and if I take his life, God is able to raise him. Oh, that's faith. See, I can't make it unless I have the faith. Because I understand it's impossible to believe him or to believe not in him and me make it to my destination. It's impossible. So I have to keep the faith. You remember what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off Jesus when he got out of the boat and walked on the water? Y'all remember that story? How when he kept focused on Jesus, when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to step out of the boat onto the water. But he got distracted. He became distracted by the raging of the waters, by the wind that was blowing. And what happened when he became distracted? I'm telling you, if we don't stay focused on our destination, we will be swallowed up by this world, by the sin in this world. That's the reason why we need to keep our eyes on the Savior. That's the reason why we don't need to get discouraged by the obstacles and the things that are placed in our lives. We have a destination. The Bible teaches us that Abraham set out looking for a city, not made with hands, but his maker was God. I'm here to share with you that we got somewhere to go, church. We got somewhere to go, and we don't need to let the obstacles that fall into our lives interfere with our destination. And so many of us get caught up, and we start focusing on other things other than the one that can lead us to that city of God. I want you to understand, it is not about the journey. It's about reaching your destination. And if you let these things here on this side of life get you caught up, then you will miss this boat. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want to miss it. But there are things that come our way. And guess who we want to give up on? Don't give up on God. Don't give up on it. He will get you through if you just stay focused on Him. If you're here today,